Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and we thank you for tuning in to this segment of New Day. Of course, we are now in the process of not only observing Women's History Month, but also getting very prepared for the Million Woman March reunion. Yes, the 316 reunion is coming. Now, Thursday night, we did do a special announcement via the internet to let folks know that the march or the reunion is, in fact, on. And we also indicated where it's going to be. But before we go into that for this evening, we, of course, want to give thanks and praises to our Creator. And certainly, we are very, very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. We're not going to do a long segment tonight, but we are going to have Sister Munira, who is one of our coordinators for the National Black Women's Defense League. Of course, she's based in the New York area. And we are in the process now of not only bringing forward the Black Women's Defense League on a national level, but certainly now the Million Woman Universal Movement chapters will be put in place. And we'll be doing that as we're getting ready to prepare for our Sweet 16 reunion. Now, if you didn't tune into the broadcast the other evening for the briefing, what we call media briefing and community briefing, well, what we indicated was that the Sweet 16 reunion is going to be a two-day event. Well, actually the entire week, but there's specifically 2 days that will be very, very key in terms of the launching of our movement as the Million Woman Universal Movement. Those two dates are October 25th and October 26th. Now, October 25th is, of course, the actual anniversary day or the commemoration day for the historic Million Woman March, which, of course, took place here in Philadelphia on October 25th, 1997. And as indicated, this year is, of course, the 16th year in commemoration of that anniversary or of that historic gathering, which brought in at least 2.5 million primarily sisters of African descent, and you could say millions more via cable. Well, this time we know that we will have even a larger participation because in 1997 there was no real use of the internet, especially as it is today. There were no social networks that we were utilizing. And while we did send some things to the internet, as quite as a test, that really was not the major way that the Million Woman March was organized. And some think that it was, but it certainly wasn't. It was organized from what is known as the grassroots. And what I mean by that is I'm talking about folks literally in our communities going, taking flyers to stores and churches and various events. I mean, that's really how the Million Woman March was organized. And, you know, we really had to make certain that people now understand how incredible that gathering really was because, you know, the reality is to have more than 500,000 people, and certainly we have many more than that, but to have the number of people that we had and at the same time not have corporate sponsoring, not have a major benefactors, not have an already organized or entity that was already in place, like a national organization or what have you, to have none of those things and yet to be able to bring 2.5 million people together, you have to know that was definitely amazing, to say the least. So we now are in the process of making certain that others realize that this is, in fact, a divine mission. It was then, we demonstrated it then, and so now we are truly going to show what it is that the Million Woman Movement is about, what the Million Woman March was about, and of course it was to begin to establish the Million Woman Movement And now we are prepared to do that. We did not expect it to take as long as it did, but nevertheless, we certainly are thankful that we have been able to persevere, and with that, we are able to move forward. So again, October 25th will be the actual day, the commemoration day for the Million Woman March. With that, we will do the official installation of our 12 sister saints, okay? And I'm going to tell you who some of them are tonight. And also on the 25th, we're planning to do a rally in front of the Justice Department. We want to begin to make certain that the Justice Department is aware, or more aware, we're sure they're already aware, but more aware that there is something really going on with African women in this country. It has been in the past, and it certainly is now, and what we want to do is to not only bring greater attention to that, but also to now, you know, have it dealt with in a more productive and in a more realistic way. During the 1940s and 50s in particular, we're talking about eugenics. We know that the eugenics movement was something that was taking place throughout the U.S., but what many do not know is the connection to the eugenics movement with the United States government, or state governments in particular. But again, through the state governments, that's indirectly connected to the federal government. And so we want to make certain that on October 25th, we let it be known loud and clear that justice must prevail, that this has to be exposed and brought forward to a greater level in terms of, you know, making certain that people know that it happened, making certain that those victims that are still amongst us and their families are, you know, dealt with accordingly, be it through compensation, be it through apology, whatever the families deem is necessary and our people. Again, October 25th, we're asking all of our folks to join us. We will be not only commemorating, of course, the Million Woman March, but also its movement now, bringing it forward and doing so in a very proactive way. And with that, demonstrating that we are very serious, that we have now a 5-year-plus-2 direct action plan. Okay, this is a little beyond just an action plan. This is a specific, mapped-out strategy to address every platform issue that we brought forward in 97 and of course, now the additional platform issues that we have. We now have specific strategies and programs and projects that is designed exactly for those issues and for, you know, those concerns. And so we're going to tell you, we're going to show you what the Million Woman Movement is about, and with that demonstrate our not only commitment, but also what it is that we said we would do, we're going to do it. As they say, word is bond, well, we're getting ready to show you that as well. So this gives you some insight. Again, October 25th, we'll do the installation of our 12 sister saints, and we're putting a call out to those brothers and sisters that are artists, sculptors, you know, things of that nature, where we need some kind of either portrait or painting or bust or whatever of our 12 initial sister saints. And those sister saints, again, I'm going to let you know who a few of them are tonight. But when we do the installation, the idea is that for each one of them, we will make certain that each year we pay a particular type of recognition and tribute to our sister saints. And this will be something that is a part of the sisterhood for the Million Woman Movement. It's a requirement for those sisters who become members or come involved in the Million Woman Movement, sisterhood. These are some of the things that they will be required to do, and that is, again, to observe, to pay homage, to pay tribute to our sister saints. And again, I'm going to give you some of them very shortly so that, you know, you can begin to know what it is that we're doing and why. Now, with that said, as we have Sister Saints, we're going to also have sisters that we're going to be commemorating and paying tribute to for, you know, for their tribute, for their contribution, rather, to the movement. And so what we're going to do is get ready to go to our live line, because very recently in Newark, we had one of our sisters there in Newark visiting, presenting. Of course, for those who do not know, Mama C., well, her name is Mama Charlotte McNeil. And again, she, you know, is a former Black Panther and probably still a Black Panther at heart. But, you know, there are so many women, of our women, who played major roles in the liberation movement, you know, especially during the 1960s. And a lot of times we don't hear who those women are. Of course, you're familiar with Sister Sada Shakur, but there were many, many other women who, again, were very strong. But unfortunately, during that time period, sisters, you know, and you see it today, our sisters were oppressed, suppressed. They were doing lots and lots of work, needless to say, but in many instances, sisters were kind of, you know, pushed to the side or downplayed or what have you. And this is, again, why we now have the Million Woman Movement, because we want to make sure that those sisters who are ready to come forward are able to do so in a way that they're not hindered, that they're not subjugated, that they're not put in a compromising kind of situation, and can do so in being a real woman, you understand? And so we're going to make certain that they're able to have that kind of ability, those type of vehicles, and certainly those type of opportunities. So, again, we're going to get ready to go to our live line, and I ask Sister Manira to join us tonight to give us a brief report on Mama C's presentation, which occurred, I believe, 2 nights ago in Newark. Mama C, of course, is not only a political activist, but also an artist, a performing artist. I remember when she was here in Philadelphia a few years ago, she participated in a program for Mumia Abu-Jamal, and we're hoping that she'll be coming this way again in April, because we say always around April 24th, there is several kinds of activities on a world level, actually, not just in Philadelphia, but on throughout the country and definitely in other parts of the world. They do certain types of programs to bring attention again to the continued struggle to free Mumia Abu-Jamal. And, of course, there is something now called Free in 4, Free Mumia in 4 years, Free in 4. And so, you know, hopefully we'll have Sister Pam on, I think, next week to talk more about what's coming up with that. There's a planning meeting, I think, tomorrow. And so, you know, she'll be prepared to give you an update on the planning meeting and, of course, what's coming up on or around April 24th. So let's see, without further ado, we're going to get ready to go to our live line now, and we're going to talk to our Sister Munira, who, of course, is based in Newark and, of course, is our coordinator for the Black Women's Defense League in the Newark area. And we're now inviting sisters again to get involved. Now, with the reunion coming, hopefully you'll be more motivated to really kind of step it up and really get directly involved in some of what we're doing. We certainly welcome you. We certainly hope that you will now participate to a greater extent. There's a lot of work that has to be done in these next few months to make certain that the reunion celebration and commemoration and gathering is all that it needs to be. And so, again, we invite you all to become directly involved, to be a volunteer, to be a project coordinator, to be a presenter, whatever you feel you'd like to do. But you certainly need to let us know very soon. And with that said, you can send us your information, your inquiries. We definitely need now lots and lots and lots of donations, because it certainly is costly to have major events. But again, you can contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Okay, I'm going to give out some other contact information that you can utilize to get in touch with us very shortly. But for now, as indicated, we're going to go to our line, and we're going to talk to Sister Manira, who's going to tell us about the presentation with Mama C. And also, I think Sister Manira participated in a panel discussion that took place in Newark. And, you know, it's so interesting that the Me Woman movement is just a trailblazing entity. That's all I can say, because it seems that as we continue to really forge forward in doing certain things, saying certain things, and revealing certain things, that it kind of inspires others to also, you know, kind of raise the bar a bit. The Me Woman movement, however, has been extremely consistent in these past 16 years. We don't miss a beat. And with that said, we stay very focused in doing the work that we said we would do, and now, of course, are now ready to take it even to the next level. So, again, let's go to our live line, and joining us now is Sister Manira Bonmani, who, of course, is going to give us a brief report on Mama C's presentation and visit to Newark a few days ago, and also some insight into the panel discussion that took place. I believe it was connected to hip-hop and the type of degrading behavior that we are now seeing so readily. So, again, let's go to our live line, and I believe we have Sister Manira joining us now. Sister, you on this line?
Peace, power, and progress, everyone. How are you?
All right. All right. Very good. Very good.
Well, of course, I'm great, too. And I give thanks to the creator of all creations. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say to all the sisters out there, happy Herstory Month.
That's
As we salute and, you know, embrace this month, but it's Black Women's History Month, 365 days, you know, wherever we are. So
that's right.
I just want to salute the sisters. And, yes, indeed, I was at the presentation that Mama C came to Rutgers, and she was very, very powerful, very, very inspirational. And I was kind of shocked, because I thought, you know, a person, you know, of her caliber wasn't going to be embraced, particularly by the students, because of, you know, the same old status quo, you know, movements that are taking place today on these college campuses. But she was there, and she had a very large crowd to me. You know, the room, all the seats was packed, you know, and the students was very much, you know, connected and involved, you know, and in tune to, you know, her spiritual presentation, as well as her cultural and arts presentation. So it was this, to me, it was like, I was kind of like shocked due to the present day status quo of what's going on in these colleges.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it was to me, you know, it needs to be. She's doing a tour, actually.
Right.
It's
right.
Called the Heal the Community Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And what she is, she's trying to, you know, heal and serve as an inspiration to humanity, particularly folks who are oppressed, you know, and you know, not spiritually connected to you know, some source of creation, the source of creation.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
wow. Okay.
And she's doing that through you know, her spoken words, her matter of fact, the instruments she's using are basically homemade from Africa.
Mm.
And, you know, that was, like, very creative, you know, and to see also. And she plays them very well, you know, all the different kind of musical tools, equipment, you know. So it was to me, it just was inspirational, and I wish that we can have her, as well as other cultural people, our people, to go into these schools and basically share, you know, our culture, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, mm-hmm. she also shared, you know, some of the things she was doing in Africa. She has a school, a liberation school,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I guess based on, you know, her being a part of the Black Panther Party and them, you know, being inspirational and starting their own liberation school, she went there and she's basically doing some of the things that they've done, you know, in terms of building their own development, building their own liberation schools,
okay.
and, you know, using the art, using... You know, the self-reliance type of of atmosphere. You know, communal stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, she's just basically trying to enlighten and inspire people that if we can unite and pull together and pull our resources, that you know we can do anything. You know, just the
mm-hmm.
power of us being united. And not only that, inspirational, and using our creativities, you know,
mm-hmm.
our God-given talent to,
yes.
You know, overcome, you know, the economic and the, you know, oppression and all that through arts, culture, and creativity. So
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just nice. It was just something that you know that we don't see a lot of. And
mm-hmm.
like I was saying to her that, you know, I was just honored for her to even be invited there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm quite sure what the connection she had with the students, which I guess some of the students are of Latino descent, well,
mm-hmm.
Afro-Latino and African. So I guess, you know, whoever the African students were, they made the connection with her. And they basically trying to, you know, make sure they can allow her to be, you know, be a part of the campus community. So basically, okay. I mean, if you want to know some other stuff, you know, I'd be even more than happy to let you know, whatever you want to know.
Wonderful. Now, what were some of the other topics that she focused on, that Mama C focused on? Did she mention anything about, I'm sure she did, but I'm just going to, you know, ask it anyway. Did she talk about the political prisoners?
Oh, she definitely spoke about Geronimo, who was they were very close. And she spoke about, you know, how he was... How he was basically framed, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she talked about his case and some of the things that he'd been doing and, you know, how he got involved in the Panther. He came from military background,
right.
And he actually, you know, used that, you know, military frame of mind to help liberate and his people,
mm-hmm.
you know. So he taught them, you know, military tactics. You know,
mm-hmm,
so he
mm-hmm.
basically, you know, used what he learned throughout, you know, and through the military to come, you know, teach that to his community, particularly
mm-hmm.
those who are in the rank and file members of the Black Panther Party.
Mm-hmm.
She also spoke about, you know, because there was questions raised about the sexism that was going on, and she said, you know, she talked about that with some of the students who raised that question about male chauvinism and stuff in the
mm-hmm.
movement and sexism.
Mm-hmm.
And she said
wow.
that, you know, that everybody was basically trying to, you know, pull themselves up. So they talked about it, and it was definitely a topic of conversation. And women and rank and file men, you know, try to address that, you know, just like in any other community, anywhere in society.
Right,
people who would bring up, even if they're in their group. So she said, yes, there was, you know, sexism, male chauvinism, and all the stuff that went on in everyday life, you know, but they addressed it and they did what they could to eliminate it. So, you know, she spoke about, you know, how, you know, women were used as sex objects,
right.
You know, and they was, you know, women didn't have to actually, because they was a panther, they didn't have to, you know, give it up. You know,
right.
So she spoke about the sisters who addressed that, which I have an article, her sister Regina, who
mm-hmm.
was one of the Black Panthers who really was like, you know, really addressed that concern because
mm-hmm.
she wrote an article about that.
Okay.
And
wow.
You know,
well, when you get
they,
the opportunity,
that,
please send that to me.
Yeah, and they figured that if you was you know, a part of the Panther movement and knowing that it was, you know, it was basically orchestrated by men, that women that was involved, you know, they thought that, you know, just to be involved, you had to be, you know, either going out or dating a brother. And, it that happened, she talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But she said
mm-hmm.
that, you know, women who didn't feel comfortable with it, you know, because they didn't come in the party for that. You know,
right.
So they wanted to be respected as, you know, their rank and file members and not just, you know, used, you know, as a sex pawn, a little pawn, you know, like they had to give it up to be in the movement. So she addressed a lot of things, you know, and she talked about, you know, more so like human liberation. That's
mm-hmm.
what she's really all about. You know, she says she's very much into liberating her, you know, her Black nation, her Black people. But she said
mm-hmm.
that, you know, she's about trying to, you know, spread love to those who want to be taught. Like
right.
she said, even these Europeans must,
mm-hmm.
you know, learn about our culture to understand
mm-hmm.
what we are or who we are.
Right.
Because in actuality, we are, you know, like in so many words, she was saying that like we are the original, you know, the original mothers and fathers of humanity. So she, you know, she discussed that. So it was a lot of things she touched on. I got some stuff taped, so I, you know, as much as I could send. But she, indeed, I got to speak to her, and she said that she didn't. She didn't get the contact, whoever you send the contact information to reach
mm-hmm.
out to her. She never received that. So
mm-hmm.
she said not this Saturday because she's on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And she said
mm-hmm.
that probably next Saturday she would come on the show to talk. So
okay.
She told me just to send her a reminder on, because me and her been Facebook connected for a long time. I've been basically, reading up on her because she got a Facebook link where you can go to Charlotte Hill O'Neill. It's
mm-hmm,
her Facebook
mm-hmm.
link, and you know you
okay.
can see some of the things and that she's doing. So because she got a lot of that stuff on her Facebook link, and you can see, you know, whatever it is you want to. You know, research and know more about her and connect with her so she can be able to, you know, share what she want to talk to you about, some information
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. So
well,
she
said
certainly...
that she's going to Ghana. Her next stop is Ghana. And then
mm-hmm.
She said around October, which we want to invite her to the Sweet 16 reunion, she says
mm-hmm.
that she hopes she can make it, but she doubt because she know October she's scheduled to go to China.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
But she says she definitely want to come on the broadcast, and
mm-hmm.
she definitely want to you know connect with MWN Black Women Defense League. And
wonderful.
I also reminded her for either this Saturday or next Saturday, so she She gave me the okay on Facebook, so I just have to stay on top of her.
Okay, well, very good. So we will look forward to we'll look forward to having her on, you know, in the very near future, and definitely to keep that connection going because now that we are launching our international agenda, we'll be doing a lot of traveling in these next couple of years. So certainly. Tanzania, you know, should be on our list.
Yep, Indeed. So if you go to her Facebook and you will see she has an organization called the United African Alliance,
mm-hmm.
A community center that's in Tanzania. And she's basically, you know, she teaching the little babies. They even dress like the little panther cubs with the blue
mm-hmm.
and the tams. She
right.
got them dressed in the same way. And she's teaching them the history about the political prisoners, the panther movement, a lot of cultural stuff. They even do conscious hip-hop, you know, spoken word. So she's a force to be reckoned.
Wow, wonderful. All right.
And like you said, you said something very important that, you know, a lot of our sisters are doing great things in society, especially
mm-hmm.
our black sisters, our black women. And we just not being exposed, just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
the Million Women's Movement. And that's why it's very important that we tell our story, we tell our history, and we make sure no one sweep our history and our other sisters' histories under the rug. You know, we must uplift and do all we can to make sure folks recognize us.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Well, that's why we're here, my sister, as you well know. You know, we're not going to let this continue with just either misinformation or no information about our people. We're just not going to let that happen, and not just our people, but specifically our women. So that's one of the reasons why we formulated now, you know, some very unique, but some very much needed kinds of pieces to making certain that we now can do the kind of work that we need to do, but also exemplify the various things that we're talking about by institutionalizing what we're talking about. And with that said, we will now have a unit under our umbrella that is known as the Million Women Historical Preservation Society, because we have to make certain that we keep our history intact and well represented, and that's exactly what we're going to be doing now. So, again, for those sisters who are part of the Million Women Movement, as far as the sisterhood, they're going to be required to do some very specific things, including having a area within their body based on their city or their state that report, that documents the history of African women in their city, in their state, so that when we're ready to link all that together, we'll be able to show by city, by state, this is what black women did, you know, be it 100 years ago or be it today. This is the type of things that we're getting ready to bring forward as a part of our commemoration of Sweet 16 and, of course, of our universal movement, the kinds of things that now will be put in place to assure that we are able to not only move forward, but that we are able to make certain that what has happened to us as a people will never happen again.
Right on. And just to speak about the other panel, in regards to the shit hop music panel.
right.
I wasn't able to make it there, but I definitely sound the drums in regards to that panel having a female representation on that panel, which that event took place at Weekway High School, which is one of the schools one of the new Panther members teach at. So
okay.
I was told, based on the report back from the sister that was on the panel, Sister C. Asia, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it could have been definitely better. And, of course, you know, the censoring and, you know, the stuff that you got to go through in this miseducational system, you know, our people try to make do with what they can do, you know. So
right.
She said that, you know, some things could have changed, you know, and you know, to better that program. But, of
mm-hmm.
course, you know, I think, you know, having that outside of the you know, miseducational system probably would have been a better place. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I'm just delighted that they had it, because it's just, you know, quite ironic and coincidentally that, you know, the call was made a long time ago that we made here, and we had our first panel, and you recall, you know, some of the key players was supposed to be on that panel, and we had one of the brothers who was on this panel that they just had at Weekway High School, Brother Jaja, who was on that panel. So we made the call, you know, a long time ago, and we just made a call after that comment, you know, about, you know, hosting these forums. So I'm just, you know, I'm okay that they even made the initiative, because I know that the word is getting that on the ground.
Absolutely.
You know, and not only that, you know, also today I was listening to Chub Rock, which they play all conscious music on 107.5 FM. And it was just, you know, it was kind of strange that he said that we need to take this music back, you know.
Wow.
So he was talking about, you know, how the music changed from, you know, back in the days, the hip-hop, and they was even talking about, you know, building some kind of movement to take the music back, you know.
I like
so
that.
So it's basically, you know, and Chub Rock. So if you want to go connect with him, I'm quite sure he got a Facebook page, because he's one of the popular DJs that come on. But it was just kind of like, wow. I was like, wow. It was a coincidence just to hear him saying, you know, and he said that, you know, this, you know, this music is just, you know, totally out of control.
Right.
You know, and we got to go back and just take it. And that's exactly what, you know, the call that was made with you and Brother Chairman Fred.
Yes.
That, you know, going back to take back, you know, take back the music, take back the culture. Teach the
that's
real
right.
true culture. You
that's
know?
Right.
So it's sort of is the same message. So making the connection and making it happen is exactly what, you know, we want to do. So, you know, it's no big thing that they had the panel, but like I said, they should have just had, you know, more so, you know, trying to have a panel with folks who, you know, just doing it as, I guess, a fad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they need to get people who is really serious about it to keep this thing going consistently. So,
well, you know, as you well know, one of the things that we're in the process of doing is sending letters to some of the so-called urban radio stations and some of the black newspapers to see if they will participate in our town meetings, our town hall meetings, to discuss this issue. So we're trying to see, you know, exactly
who is really
serious.
Real.
That's right.
Who
and
is
who
really,
really
real.
Wants
right.
to address this issue.
Absolutely, because, I mean, like I said, We made the call a long time ago, and then, you know, with that little, you know, comment from Lil Wayne, you know, we sent a message out, and just all of a sudden, you know, a panel pops up, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, but, you know, my whole thing is that, you know, just don't do it just because, like, you know, you hear something one day and you don't, or you hear something another day, and then you want to jump on, you know, jump out the groundhog, like a groundhog. You know, so my whole thing is that, like I said, we made the call a long time ago to call to action to do what we need to do. So I just hope people just stay the course and just don't do it, you know, for Black History Month or, you know, one day and then the next day, you know. I mean, I appreciate everybody's effort, but, I mean, it's time to really get serious.
That's right.
You know?
No doubt about it.
Serious and you know, and consistent.
Well, what I realize is that as we continue, you know, we hope that these things will happen, but the reality is, you know, sometimes you have to kind of make it happen, you know. Sometimes people or situations are not going to do things that we know should be done. I mean, that's obvious. Look at the situation that we're in now as a people. So it's obvious that if, you know, folks were to do what they should do or could do, this wouldn't be, you know, to the point or to the degree that it is presently. So what I now realize is that there are groups, organizations, individuals, businesses, institutions that really now have to make it happen. It's as simple as that. We can't really continue to think that, oh, you know, it's going to happen. This is what people should do, and therefore it's going to happen. That's not what's been happening, and it doesn't look like that's what's going to happen. So it's going to take some to step out there, demonstrate that this is what needs to happen, do it, and then I think that's going to be, you know, a little more motivating for others to literally, you know, make this stuff happen the way it needs to happen, because it's going downhill fast, as
yeah,
we all
and then,
see.
And then, like I was saying, like, you know, it's more than just a panel, even though we
mm-hmm.
need to have, you know, topics that we need to talk about and address.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
my whole thing is that, I mean, what's after the panel? What's after the feel-good
right.
speeches that everybody come out every time there's a conference and a rally and a panel and all this stuff? I mean, sit-ins and all that. It's more than just a topic of discussion. You got to actually have a plan of action to address. And we already know, like you said, the key word is boycott.
Right, that's right.
You know,
that's
so
right.
If we really going to be serious about taking some action besides talking, we need to really, like, get busy and do that, because
that's right.
We can definitely, you know, shut it down. And I was listening to Brother Dick Gregory, Elder Dick Gregory, on a documentary yesterday called The Cotton Picking Truth.
Mm.
He and it's deep. So remind me to send you a copy if you've never seen that. But it talks about slavery that's still in existence today, and we already know, because and the lynching and stuff is still existing today, because you had our brother on. So they still. This is a lady that was talking in 2009 about Mississippi and the cotton fields and all of that down there in Mississippi.
What?
Yeah, but Dick Gregory was on there also, and Professor Ogletree, you probably heard of him.
Yes, of course.
And it was real powerful. I mean, like, the information, and he was saying that the key holidays that black people and people just in general, Thanksgiving and
mm-hmm.
Christmas, like 80% of the people shop during those two holidays. If the 80% just shut Christmas and Thanksgiving down and send a clear
mm-hmm.
message, he was saying that the white man to come and say, "What you want me to do?" if you kill another black man, they'll come to you saying that if you kill another black man, I'm going to kill you, because you be hitting them in their pockets. You know, and then he was, and Ogletree was talking about reparation.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in the documentary that Obama is not for reparation, talking about giving checks
to
descendants of slaves. But he was saying to Obama, well, since you ain't about reparation, like giving somebody, build a trust fund for
mm-hmm.
the slave.
That's right.
Because you got
that's
people
right.
still benefiting from slave money.
Right.
So
that's
develop
right.
a trust fund, and not only that, exempt us from tuition, you know, health care, you know, all of that type of stuff. Make it tuition free, or, you know, exempt. We exempt.
Right. That's right.
Clear our
that's,
credit
and that
history.
Has been, yeah,
so there's some other things,
too.
Being that you don't want to give a person, a descendant of a slave, money in a check. He was talking about some other creative things.
Mm-hmm. That has been our position as well. And, you know, before I even heard whoever said that, the position of MWM has always been, and so now we're going to really put it in writing so that people can see what the African Women for Reparations Unit is, you know, what it advocates and what is, you know, bringing forward, especially in December when we go to the Republic of Benin to hold our first of three summits that will focus specifically on human rights. And our position for the African Women for Reparations Cadre, our position is that, of course, you know, that we need to now see tuition-free, you know, so-called education, higher education for our people. That needs to be a demand now. That's something that can happen now. And also tax exemption. That needs to happen now.
Clear. He talked about so many things that, you know, that can actually, you know, be a alternative, you know, to what they, because, you know, we already know that they ain't even trying to think about that, but just to focus on doing something, because he was saying that how they did something for the Japanese through their Holocaust, you know, he talked about the Jews, you know, and all of that, all the people who received their reparations.
Sure, sure.
You know, and then had the proof, you know, of what happened to them during that time. So, and we have the proof. And nobody
That's right.
You know, even though there's a law on the books to deal with this reparation issue, because it was brought up by, he showed Conyers and, you know, all the people who you know, try to pass that legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sitting on it. They just like, you know, oh, heck, you know, reparation for black folks. You know, so it's crazy. But I think I don't know, lately the reparation movement's kind of like died out, because, you know, we had a few organizations here that they movement, you know, was built off of rallying about reparation. And then all of a sudden, you know, they had one congressional hearing, and they actually, matter of fact, the state senate said that, you know, slavery existed. They even they didn't deny it. So I'm like, well,
right,
if they didn't deny it, now, okay, what's next for this organization to do? But lately, they haven't been talking about it.
Right.
You know, the People's Organization for Progress, so. It's just,
you know, and we do still have NCOBRA, which, you know, still is doing work, but certainly in this day and age, there needs to be a lot more done. And, you know, I know that NCOBRA is doing, you know, whatever they can to continue the work. You have folks in Cali and D.C., and even there's a group here in Philly. But, again, you know, all of what we're doing in terms of liberation, in terms of obtaining justice, we've got to really step this thing up now, because it's not getting the type of exposure, it's not getting the type of energy or synergy that it needs to get. And so, again, this is why for the Men and Women March reunion, this is kind of why we're doing this at this particular time, so that we can re-energize and regenerate, you know, some of the things that have been happening. But, again, because it is so critical right now, we've really got to step it up. And this reunion will allow us
understand.
To do that.
Yeah, I know what we definitely want to do, and we about stepping it up. But my whole thing is that, I mean, like, the masses of the people, the more unity, the better. And this is thing, when it comes time to taking action and actually strategizing an action plan, that's when folks just, you know, fall by the wayside. And I'm like,
wow.
You know, we are in a serious crisis, and now we dealing now with the sequester stuff. What is it? You know, and folks, you know, talking about going to be oppression or depression. I mean,
right.
Like, I guess if it takes that, hopefully maybe people would wake up. Probably got to take something to happen. That's crazy.
Well, you know, again, I think this is what's going to really determine who and who is who and what is what. And that is, you know, either a person has capabilities to make things happen or they don't, or a group or an organization or whatever. Either there's the ability to be able to do that or there isn't. And at this stage in time, that's what we really need to now see. I mean, there's always conversation. There's always different kinds of conferences or this and that. And we definitely need that. We have to continue that. But we now also have to have some real victories. We also have to build some real institutions. And so that's really where we're at. Okay, so, you know, we have to really see now what it is that it is that people are saying or think we should be doing or whatever. We now got to make it happen. Simple as that.
Right, right on.
So,
thank you.
Go ahead.
No doubt. So, we're looking forward to hosting her on our radio, blog radio, probably this Saturday coming up. What I'll do is, you know, I'll stay on top of her, see if she's able, because I know she's traveling, and make sure we get a confirmation from her at least for a Saturday coming up.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, I'll be looking forward to having her on, needless to say, and, you know, we're going to really do some things this month in recognition of Women's History Month.
Yep. And another person I know I want to give great honor to, too, knowing that we celebrating, you know, Black Women's History Month, or like I said, they say month and we say every day, but another strong warrior elder that's doing some great work also, and also uplifting and, you know, exposing the misconceptions or misinformation about our political prisoners, Mama Ferguson, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She's another force, and she have a book out, and I had the opportunity to go to the political prisoner dinner, and I met her and Elder Ferguson that day too for the first time, and I mean they spirits was just strong.
Oh, absolutely.
Know? So, but it's you know, our elders, our warrior elders, we definitely got to lift them up because, you know, if nobody else do it, who would? You know. So
now, are you saying that that Mother Ula has a book? Because I know that Baba Herman has a book, but I didn't realize that our mother had a book too.
I think it was both. They both participated in that book.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes, I'm familiar with.
I know it got to be a book because I mean it was 100. I think the price for the book was 100 and something. So,
that's not the same book I'm talking about.
No, yeah, they got a new book out. They have a new book.
Oh, okay. Wow, no, I wasn't aware of that.
Yep. They definitely have a new book out. And I know it's like it costs $100.
Okay, so, I'll be sure to, because I had planned to reach out to Sister soon anyway to invite her to be on the Elders Council for MWM. So I'm glad you mentioned that because I was not aware that there was a new book available.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up because, I mean, these are some strong warrior elders that I know that they should definitely be a part of our legacy.
Absolutely. Well, I've had the opportunity to, you know, be in the company of both of them on numerous occasions, and certainly Mother Aula is one of the strongest elders that I've seen around in a long time. So, you know, we want to definitely connect with her and hopefully have her to be, you know, again on our Elders Council.
Yep. And when I heard her speak, you know, that's why I brought her up because, I mean, I had the privilege to hear her speak as well, and she was just like just as fiery as being a young energetic
that's right.
soldiers.
And, you know, this
you know,
is what I was telling,
like,
telling someone. This is what I was telling someone. I think I was on Harambe Radio maybe 2 weeks or so ago on Sister Hashima's show, and she wanted to call me Mother Empress. And I said to her, you know, I really appreciate that, but for real, I prefer Sister Empress at this time, because what we tend to do is put our people in these categories, and as a result of doing so, it kind of creates a stigma. And I let her know straight up, I'm not an elder yet, at least not in that kind of context, and I'll let you know when I'm ready to do that. But for right now, that's not where I'm at. I get out here and do, you know, what has to be done just like everybody else does on a day-to-day basis. And so with that said, I'm still a foot soldier. Even though I'm a president general, I still have to get out here and do the various things that are required. You know, from lacing up my boots to, you know, what have you. So I let her know, you know, again, I appreciate Mother Empress, but for right now, let's just keep it as Sister Empress.
I know that's right.
Yeah, because we, you know, we tend to, for whatever reason, deal with, you know, we talk about sexism, but, you know, we haven't even gotten into the dialogue yet about ageism. Because we do that with each other, too, or with our people as well. We segregate the youth and then, you know, want to deal with that as the youth. And then we deal with the elders, and then we put them in this little pocket like, okay, they're elders, which means, you know, they're not really going to be doing a lot of things actively. And that's really the connotation that comes out when you start talking about elders. And so, you know, we have to change some of that. We have to start redefining some of what it is we're talking about and how we're labeling things. And then the other thing, too, is to look at how we're dealing with a revolving door. Because every generation, you have that generation talking about the youth and that we got to do this and that for the youth, which is a given. But then in reality, the youth is older and then they do the same thing. Focus on the youth. And I mean, and that's good, but the reality is everybody, as far as I'm concerned, needs to do what it needs to do based on the time period that they're in, too. So what I'm saying is what I've seen brothers and sisters do is to, rather than look at what it is they need to be doing based on whatever age bracket they're in, they rather make it seem like it's all about the youth. You see, and to me, that's an escapegoat. That's escapism. And don't get me wrong, we need to do all we need to do for our youth, but you don't dismiss or you don't negate what you need to be doing based on what you need to do. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You see, and I've noticed this. I know I've seen several folks talk about, you know, yeah, okay, we gotta do things for the youth, for the students, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking at that going, okay, that's cool. I mean, I already know that. That's like, you know, you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth. There's some things you already just kind of know to do. Anyway, you know, so.
It'd be a given, right?
Right, it's a given. That's a given. That's like automatic. That's a, you know, we don't even have to talk about, I got to do that. That's a given. So now, what do you do based on what you need to do based on your skills, talents, information, connections, in terms of the overall piece of liberation, the overall thing? What now, how are you addressing that? What are you doing in terms of that? See, and these are the questions that now have to be raised. And of course, people have their own specific areas, you know, that they want to work in. You know, I find most people have a specific area that they like to function in, and that's good. But when you're in a war, especially the type of war that we're in, you find that you have to do more than just that. When you are a mother, You have to deal with your children, needless to say, but you have other responsibilities too. You see, and this is where we're at today as a people. We can't just regulate ourselves to any one specific thing, not in this battle. You know, it's just too vast now. So these are some of the things that we will be conveying and teaching to our sisters. Again, we say to everyone, if you are interested in being a presenter, if you're interested in holding a workshop or what have you, for the upcoming reunion, because there will be a week long of activity that will be leading up to the mass gathering. And so we're inviting folks to bring your skills, to bring your information. Be a part of making this event not just, you know, a commemoration, but a work productive kind of activity that is going to be ongoing, by the way. That's what we're talking about doing.
Right on. Well, I'll tell you what, those two elders definitely need to be on our elders' council, along with Baba Ferguson.
Oh,
no doubt. I just wanted to tell you that because just meeting all three of them this past year, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was, you know, I was just truly honored. And just to see them just still on their canes, you know, and they kente, and, you know, with the warrior spirit, you know,
right.
that we don't really see, like, we don't see most of our elders like that in the community now, because you got these elders, well, I don't call them, I call, you know, Sister, Mother, Mama Ferguson, and
mm-hmm.
Baba Ferguson, those who I consider, you know, elders, like esteemed elders.
Absolutely.
Know, they are actually, you know, warriors, freedom fighters, and they actually are, and you know, the positive, you know, the inspirational and setting, you know, forth positivity for the future generation. Those are people who should be uplifted and you know, inspiring. You know,
absolutely.
So you just can't call everybody elders. You know, because you got elders out here today. You know, they drugging, drinking, and you don't should be looking up to folks like that. You know, especially if you on the road to, you know, trying to become, you know, inspirational or, you know, transforming your life. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's how I look at it today. I don't call just anybody my elder.
That's right.
You know?
No, that's right.
it has a meaning for me, you know, just learning, you know, and I'm learning every day, so, you know, and I'm just
mm-hmm.
grateful to have the opportunity to be in those elders' midst, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no doubt about it.
And they all teaching self-determination, self-reliance, you know, how to basically liberate ourselves through spirituality, you know, and through our arts and music and knowing ourselves, you know, learning our cultures, learning that from which we came, you know. So it's just been an honor. I can't stop talking about them, you know, just.
No, that's right. Well, I'm looking forward to having them join us in October. This is going to be a magnificent gathering, needless to say, and certainly in launching now the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent. I mean, this has never happened before. And when you say it's an honor, it's indeed an honor to be, you know, an integral part in bringing that about, you know, to have the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent. That's powerful. That is so powerful. And I'm telling you, you know, we're really starting to feel and see some of the responses from, you know, some sisters from other countries in particular. As a matter of fact, I'll be in the UN on, I think, March the 13th. I'll be doing a presentation there. Queen Mother Dr. Dolores Blakely will be having a session there, and I'm invited to participate in that. And I'll be doing some of the other sessions at the UN as well. But, you know, to see the response of the women when they hear that we are organizing all of our sisters worldwide, that is just, it's phenomenal, for real. And so, you know, it's wonderful to see that kind of reception and appreciation for this work. And certainly it needs to happen. We need to come together as sisters, especially when it comes to making certain that we obtain justice for ourselves as women and for our people.
Yep. And just to close out, you know, talking about, you know, the presentation that I attended with Mama C, she also, her primary focus also is empowering the young generation, you know. So, I mean, she showed pictures of, you know, she even had the babies. They had their little blue, you know, the color, they you know, symbolic colors they wore in the pants. It was the blue and the black with the tan. She had the little babies with their little, you know, they Panther gears on. And I'm like, wow, you know. But, you know, she's definitely trying to, you know, empower. And she's building. Because, I mean, all the pictures she showed of people, you know, the young generation that she connecting with in Tanzania and, and everywhere she's traveling, all over in Africa, little young babies, you know, teaching them culture and arts, you know, and spoken word. They, you know, she's just like, wow,
that's wonderful. That is so wonderful. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to, of course, connecting with her there, you know, at some point going there and you know, really being able to assist. I mean, that's what as sisters, that's what we need to be talking about doing, seeing how we can support and really, you know, assist in some very realistic kinds of ways. So that's something that I'm looking forward to talking to her about, you know, perhaps as being able to provide something for the school, for the center. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, we have to do some things here, you know, in North America that needs to get done. Because, needless to say, there are not many independent centers in North America, you see. And so we have to now look at how we're going to establish that. Because what I have also found oftentimes is while we do things, you know, abroad or do things in Africa or Jamaica or what have you, when you start looking at, well, okay, what are we building here? All right, because our ancestors' blood, sweat, and tears is on this land. So we
That's why I think that she's now bringing her tour to the U.S., but I know for a fact the reason why she's in Tanzania is because
because her husband is in exile. Sure.
Right.
When we get her on, we'll have her to talk a little more about that too.
Yeah.
So that people
I don't want to get into that, but you know, I'll let her to, you know, open up the floor for that. But that's probably one of the reasons why you know, she's there, but she's definitely, like I said, she's doing this tour, trying to go all over the world, specifically trying to connect with, you know, because she's from Kansas or somewhere, Kansas City, I think. So she's, you know, she's from the East Coast, so
right.
So she's definitely trying to, you know, bring it global. You know.
Right. Well, again, you know, what I know we have to do in everywhere that we now go as the Million Women Movement is to establish institutions in these various locations. you know, yeah. it's wonderful to go on tour, like you know, when we travel and go to different places, it's wonderful to connect and visit and so forth. But in this day and age, and this is what one of my elders taught me before he made transition, and that's Baba Battle, the president general of the UNIA. One of the things that he impressed upon me was to make certain to institutionalize the work that we're doing. See, and what that means is to make certain that there are places that and things that are done every day. See, and these types of things are important. It can't just be a project that's happening for, you know, a month, a year, or whatever. We have to look at now establishing things that's going to have a certain type of longevity so that this generation, the next generation, the following generation, and so forth will be able to continue. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about now.
I definitely understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we owe it to our ancestors. We owe it to ourselves, and we owe it to a future generation. And so this is what, you know, we have to look at building legacies. And in building legacies, we know that the continuation of the work, of the struggles, and so forth that have already occurred, we know that it can not only continue, but that it can be productive, victorious, and, you know, as successful as it needs to be.
Yep. So, I mean, right, I just, So, like I said, I'm just, like, delighted and just, you know, I'm just reflecting because 16 years ago, in February 25th,
mm-hmm.
16 years ago when I first came home and from being incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, February or October, I came to the Million Women's Movement, and I'm just reflecting on, you know, the people that I met throughout my spiritual awakening and my transformation that I'm still, you know, going through myself. From, you know, from which I came from. And I'm just honored to, like, you know, just be connected with, you know, some powerful, powerful people, you know, and not only, like, you know, just staying focused, you know, because there's a lot of negativity and it's just a lot of stuff going on in society that, you know, had I been the person that I was, you know, before being released, you know, 16 years ago, and then going to the Million Women's, you know, the Million Women's Movement in October
mm-hmm.
97, you know, which would be 16 years also. And I'm
right,
just like, wow,
right.
You know, I just give thanks to the Creator and, you know, give thanks to you for inspiring, you know, making that call October 1997 that, you know, kind of like, you know, really, really, you know, helped with my spiritual awakening. So, you know, and just, you know, meeting the elders and people who are now, you know, coming through my path that I'm able, you know, to connect with that's positive and, you know,
mm-hmm.
avoiding, you know, some of the negative stuff and then seeing right through, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, the mess that I couldn't see through before when I was, you know, up the streets, you know, a product of my environment. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, honored. And I just want to say, you know, I salute you because you you are one of the women who should be saluted. Also, for making history as well, and with every breath that I have and every breath that I take, that you know, I made a commitment, you know, to expose the Million Women's Movement, Black Women Defense League, to my very last breath, because I know for a fact whether nobody else
know that it's history.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, it's history, you know.
That's right. You know, it's a living legacy and continual history in the making. And I certainly appreciate your commitment and the continued work that you do as well, because, you know, we have to exemplify, you know, the greatness of our women, of our ancestors. And so, you know, that's what we're doing and that's what we're going to do. So, you know, I salute you as well and, you know, encourage you to continue to do the work, continue to grow. I mean, that's also very important. You know, a lot of times folks get stagnant, you know, in terms of they get to a certain level in things and then it either levels off or just continues altogether and they're where they're at. But life is a continuum of growth and development. And once that stops, then, hey, you kind of missing something. So, you know, it's wonderful for you to be able to recognize and know that you have, in fact, grown and are continuing to grow and, you know, and to look forward to that.
Right on. And that's why I said I just want to salute you, this woman history, well, we say every day, but, you know, for the month, you know, I salute you.
Wow, sister, I thank you. And with that said, for our special salute, we want to pay tribute. And what we're going to do for every show is, you know, highlight a specific woman in hopes that those of you who aren't familiar with this particular woman that we will salute each week, we want you to at least, you know, go look it up online or send out some information about her. And the person that we're saluting tonight, or should I say paying tribute to tonight, is Queen Nanny, okay? Queen Nanny, N-A-N-N-Y. And Queen Nanny, of course, was a warrior sister from Jamaica, in Jamaica. And there is a location there, you know, in her honor. So for those who are not familiar with Queen Nanny, please check her out. Check out the information. All right, my sister. Well, we are down to our last 2 minutes, and I want to thank you for, you know, bringing that report to us and sharing that information. And again, I look forward to talking with Mama C very soon and having her on the program.
No doubt. And I will be
all right.
On top of it.
No, that's right. All right, my sister. Give thanks. And family, we thank all of you for tuning into this segment, A New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. We will be back next week, same time, same station. And we're going to continue to give you ongoing updates on the upcoming Sweet 16 reunion. Next week, we'll also be telling you about some telephone conference calls that will be made available for those who are interested in helping with coordination. Also, those who are interested in being involved in some other aspects of things, we'll have that available for you, too. So please continue to tune in and also make sure you contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com or you can contact us at MWM Sisterhood, which is SISTAHOOD, @aol.com. And lastly, official MWM@yahoo.com. Starting next week, we will have some new email addresses for you because the website will be ready along with some other pages where you will be able to blog, post different things. We'll be giving you that information out next week as well because we want to make certain that we are able to keep the links and the loops moving as we move forward for the reunion anniversary Sweet 16 coming in October. Sister Manira, thank you again, and you know we'll be in touch later on this week.
Okay, and this the book that I wanted you to tell you about is An Unlikely Warrior, Herman Ferguson.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's their latest book. So.
Yeah, they did a book signing here in Philly. Oh, last year actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like 20 years now.
Yep, very good. Well, again, We're looking forward to reconnecting with the Fergusons and certainly looking forward to hopefully having them on our Elders Advisory Committee as we now approach the reunion and, you know, and getting ready for the Human Rights Convention that will be happening in Benin, West Africa in December. Next week, we're going to tell you also about another trip that we'll be taking. I believe it's going to be the end of July, and that's when we'll be going to Cuba. It seems that two other locations have been added on to that. It seems like Haiti and the Dominican Republic has been added on to the Cuba trip. And, again, just got that information yesterday, but the Lee forwarded that to us, so we'll be giving you more information on that next week because we want folks to get ready because we're on our way to Cuba. All right, my sister, so we will be talking very soon. And family, I thank you all again for tuning in. And I'm going to leave you as I oftentimes greet you, and that is in spirit of my Aden Hotep. But remember, there can be no real Hotep, no real peace, until there is truly indeed my Aden justice. Until next time, remember, let us strive in the spirit also of power, prosperity, and peace. Promote you to the Shinda. Together we shall win. Tutana.
Peace.